Welcome to a new episode of All Consumed. This is Chris. I'm doing a little solo episode here, trying out something new that maybe my co-host Neil and I might do a little bit more of in the future. It's just a quick little one-off about a recent trip I took to Geneva. And I thought rather than cramming all my Geneva-specific recs in with a bunch of other things that Neil and I might want to talk about, I'd give Geneva its own space to breathe and not get in the way of all the other stuff that Neil and I like to talk about. So we'll resume our normal podcast recordings very soon, sometime in the future. I just dropped my glasses. Let me put those back on so I could read my notes. Anyway, so I was in Geneva, Switzerland, somewhere I'd been keen to visit. I've gone through Geneva a number of times, but this was the first time I actually stopped there and stayed there, and I'm so glad I did. It's a great city, a good mix of culture and nature at your doorstep, right on the lake with views of the Alps, and it's amazing. And so here are just a few recommendations from my time there, things that I consumed and enjoyed consuming. So let's start with what I was consuming first, and maybe so just some breakfast and coffee recommendations. Got a few great cafes to mention to you. One is the Cottage Cafe. No secret here. It's a very prominent spot along the lakeside. It is an old cottage converted into a cafe. Had like a wood fire burning outside with blankets if you wanted to sit outside while having your breakfast or your drinks. We went inside. Nice ambiance. Lovely service. I have a lot of tarts and torts there, and they were all very good. I had a very nice chocolatey coffee drink, and it was just a really nice place to start the day. Another one called Birdie, specialty coffee from unusual producers. Had great coffee there. Actually bought some beans from Birdie to bring home and enjoy, and had a really great breakfast sandwich as well. Kind of a brioche bun with eggs, chives, bacon, cheddar cheese, and a lot of aioli. Served with a salad, which was really nice. So that's very nice. Another cafe, Mamicha, kind of a brand new one. I got the impression that it's a bit of a trendy one at the moment too. Had a very nice coconut water matcha and a lemon and white chocolate cookie. Both were amazing. It was a lovely setting as well. One more cafe to recommend, not actually in Geneva's proper, but in Carouge, which feels like just an extension of the city, but it is its own little proper town. Great shopping there, by the way. Very homey, kind of a more bohemian feel than a lot of Geneva. And a really nice place to soak it all in was Café de l'Aigle, if I'm pronouncing that right, Café of the Eagle. And, just hung out there, had a beer, and just watched local life. I think me and my partner were maybe the only people there that weren't locals. Seems like everybody just wanted to come in there with their dogs and hang out with the owners. And it was a fun place just to absorb that. One more food recommendation I actually have, and that's a place called Sando. They do some kind of Japanese-inspired burgers, and that's at a food court called Fork. I believe it's called Fork. And one thing you should know about Geneva is it's lovely. You'll eat well. You'll enjoy your time there, but it's maybe a little more expensive than other cities. But most of the places I recommended, pretty affordable. Sando maybe a little more expensive than you might expect for the same quality burger elsewhere, but it was a really good burger and maybe the yummiest dinner I had while in Geneva. Obviously not just there for food. One of the reasons I went there was to check out the International Museum of the Red Cross and the Red Crescent, and something I don't really talk about a lot on this podcast, but I actually work for the British Red Cross. So this was interesting to me to see just a little bit get a bigger perspective of who I work for and the work they do. The museum's great, obviously focused on humanitarian aid and how they deal with conflict and disaster across the world and have for a very long time. So very historic, a lot of it very contemporary. And then also maybe the one single piece that stood out to me was the Shinichi Tetsutana tricycle, which was something, a remnant from when the U.S. bombed Hiroshima, or maybe it was Nagasaki, but this was left over and made its way to this museum, and it's a very poignant piece. Also poignant in that general area, which, you know, the museum's in the neighborhood, in this, you know, right next to the actual headquarters for the Red Cross and Red Crescent, which is in the general neighborhood of the United Nations location there. And kind of just across the street from the United Nations is a very giant chair with three legs. And it's called the Broken Chair. Fairly recent. It was, you know, built in this century by an artist, Daniel Berset. And it's to just show opposition to landmines and cluster bombs. Very poignant to see. You can't really miss it. Really good landmark, yeah. But huge. I mean, bigger than a lot of the tower blocks and larger buildings in Geneva. So that was really interesting to see. While I'm talking about sort of cultural and museum stuff, the Museum d'Art de History in Geneva is amazing. Really great collection of art. You know, you're going to see your Seurats and your Van Goghs and whatever it is you might be into, but also a really good opportunity to Picasso's, for example, but also a really good example to just learn about and see some amazing work by artists from Geneva and Switzerland. Two that really stood out to me were Ferdinand Hodler. I loved his landscapes, paintings in particular, really captured the Alps in a lovely way. Also an artist, Alice Bailey, who just kind of had, I don't want to call it cubist, but just captured movement in a really interesting way. And both these artists were kind of off my radar, so it was nice to see those. It was the museum's kind of pay what you feel sort of thing, so a really affordable way to spend some time before we had to head out to the airport to fly home. Okay, and the museum is in the area of Geneva called Old Town, or at least on the edge of it. That's where I stayed. Nice hotel, but nothing I'm going to really feel like recommending, although I might stay there again, and if so, I'll probably mention them then. But Old Town's a great place, great base to have. It's on the lake. You're going to have access to, you know, the art museum and some other things. Good assortment of restaurants. That restaurant Sando that I mentioned is there. Also, some really good shops. Part of which is what some of these I want to mention to you now, including the famous Davidov of Geneva. If you know, they've got, well, they are a cigar shop, and there's a great Davidov in near Green Park here in London. I'm sure they're in all sorts of other places as well, but I'm guessing this is maybe the original. Really great just to go and browse around. I just love stepping in a humidor, and that smell of cigars is amazing. Actually got a little nice cigar. It was a treat from my partner. Thank you. To enjoy at a later time. Also, you know, Switzerland is famous with Swiss Army knives. Victorinox is the brand that seems to make them. And they have a flagship store in Old Town. Really neat to see how they make them. Had molds and models of some of the first original Swiss Army knives. Really old photographs of them being put to use. You can make your own customized army knife there with your name on it, things like that. It's really fun. It's a really great place to visit. Really nice souvenir, by the way, if that's something you're looking for, is your own Victorinox knife from Switzerland. But Switzerland is almost also very famous for its Swiss chocolate. A good number of shops around Old Town and throughout Geneva and Switzerland, really. Two I'd like to highlight are Auer, A-U-E-R. I believe this is the oldest chocolate shop in Switzerland that's still, you know, and that's been in operation the whole time. Really nice assortment there. Really lovely service as well. And then another, Durone seems to be one of the more prestige chocolate makers in town. And one thing I loved about Durone is I just got a small sample of chocolates there. And every time I would ask for something, I would notice the woman getting the chocolates for me would throw in one or two little more in my bag. And I just thought that was amazing customer service. And, well, here I am mentioning them now. Kind of the key element of Old Town is the Cathedral of Saint-Pierre. Beautiful building, interesting to see. If you're used to visiting big historic churches in Europe, this one might feel like a bit of a letdown when you get inside because the Reformation was a big deal in Geneva. So all the beautiful statues and images that you might find inside were taken away. So instead you see maybe like John Calvin's chair, things like that. But it's still a lovely building. Inside, you can go down into the basement of the cathedral, and it's basically this amazing archaeological site turned into a museum. So you can see that on the side of the cathedral, there has been some form of settlement for a very, very, very long time. And it just kind of built up and changed as culture and religion and population changed. In fact, they even have the skeletal remains of some chieftain who was found pretty much square in the middle of the footprint of the cathedral now. And those are left in situ for you to see underneath the cathedral. That's really interesting. A short walk away from Old Town, maybe about 20 to 30 minutes, along the lake and then along the river Rhone is Le Jonction, if I'm saying that right, which is where these two rivers meet. One is the Rhone and the other, I do not remember, but one is a glacial river and the other is more just sort of not. And where they meet, there is a clear line where one is kind of a muddy brown green and one is more sort of a light glacial blue. And it's a very clear line. It's clearly distinct where one is and the other. And then at this point that comes out from the land, it just kind of divides them and then they come back together. But it was really, really interesting to see. I think if I were to go back, I would walk a little bit farther up on this to this bridge that looks out over the two rivers meeting. I think you get a better view and also a stronger difference of the colors. But that was it. Okay, some more stuff here. Going out of town a little bit. There were some things. So Geneva is a great base for getting out and exploring things. Lots more than we got to do on this trip, but might be back some other time because it is a really good base for exploring Switzerland and even parts of France and that general region. One place just out of town in essentially a very leafy, very upscale suburb of Geneva called Colony. And that is Villa Diodati, a beautiful mansion on the lake, perched on a hill looking back toward Geneva. And beautiful just to see, and just walking around that area was really nice, like a Sunday morning. But what it's most famous for was some house guests that were there back in 1816. Namely, Lord Byron, Percy Bysshe Shelley, Mary Shelley, and Mary's stepsister, Claire Claremont, and a fellow named John, Dr. John Polidori. Okay, so Lord Byron, I think he organized the whole thing. They're actually having really crummy weather. And if you want to find out why they're having crummy weather, look up Vio Diodate and what happened in 1816, because it's really fascinating history. But anyway, these folks weren't able to have all the outdoorsy sort of fun they were wanting to. So as the legend goes, they're sitting around telling each other ghost stories and just trying to come up with more audacious stories for each other. In fact, also as the legend goes, Lord Byron and Mary Shelley had a bet to see who could get the first horror novel published. And Mary Shelley won with the now famous Frankenstein. Supposedly she came up with the concept, or at least first shared the concept of that novel that night. Polidori came up with a story called The Vampire, which was essentially the template for Bram Stoker's Dracula. So creeped out that night, and it still shapes a lot of our media and stories and movies and novels and a lot of things today. And just seeing that place is really nice, and also just a good opportunity and excuse to walk around, see a nice part of town, part of the area. Also took the train out to a town called Vevey, famous for being the headquarters for Nestle, and also for being some of its more famous residents, such as Charlie Chaplin. Last 25 years of his life, he lived there. And I guess at the time he could have chosen a lot of different places to live. Probably chose Vevey because it's absolutely gorgeous, has a great little old town. It's right on the lake, and it has some of the most stunning views of the Alps you're ever going to see. When we went there, it was about an hour train ride. Beautiful, gorgeous, sunny day. Cool, but sunny. This was late March. There's a market going on, sort of this big square going out onto the lake. Just really nice. So it was fun hanging out around there. Had a good time. But our main reason for going to Vevey was then to take some smaller modes of transportation up into a area called Lavaux. And the Lavaux Vineyard Terraces are 800-hectare UNESCO World Heritage Site. Stretches about 30 kilometers along Lake Geneva's northern shore between Lausanne and Montreux. So there in Vevey, we're kind of right smack in the center of it, and then just needed to get up into the hills into some smaller towns. All sorts of hikes and tours and paths that go through the vineyards. We kind of merged a couple of different pathways together, so trails together. Probably strolled for about 10 kilometers. Our hike took us through the village of Epes, and that was very nice to see. I think maybe a little later in the spring or through summer and early and through autumn it'd be a lot more beautiful, but it was still so nice. You're at this relatively high elevation looking down on the lake, and it feels like you're at eye level with the peaks of the Alps. So just and then just surrounded by grapevines and vineyards and dotted along with little villages. It's a really beautiful, romantic place for a walk. In Epes, we stopped at a little wine shop called Le Onze Terre, the 11 Earths. Sampled some local wine, all of it delicious. Switzerland doesn't have a huge reputation for wine, but that's mostly because they keep it all to themselves. It's a small country with a relatively small but amazing wine region. And by the time it's whatever's left, it's going to be really expensive outside of Switzerland to get. But if you're there, it's reasonable, it's delicious, and it's as nice as any wines you're going to find in comparable European countries. Mostly whites, and they're delicious, but not just. And even if you don't like wine, just walking around the vineyards is beautiful. It's very accessible. You really can't get lost. but you'll enjoy it. Same would be said for so much of Geneva, and there's so much more I enjoyed there, so much more you can do, so much more I'd like to do if I go back. So a real highlight for me was going on this trip. But with that, just want to say stay tuned. We'll probably have another episode uploaded soon. I'm Chris. Neil will probably be joining me next time. He would probably want me to mention his social media handles, Dine Hard. I'll go ahead and mention that you want to find out more or listen to more All Consumed. You can go to allconsumedpod.com or at All Consumed Pod for our Instagram feed. And drop a line, give us a review, and thank you so much for listening. All right, goodbye.